is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
To the south of France, to paradise. Simon Constable, writing for Fox News, The Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and other distinguished publications, begins with the climate report, watching the world's climate shift a little in one direction or another. Can't tell. Simon, a very good day to you in the south of France. I report in New England, it is sunny, it is cool, somewhere between the 40s in the morning and climbing into the 60s, maybe hitting 70 in the afternoon with the sunshine. Perfect weather. Very little rain. My pond is very low, but it does this time of year. And I'm ready to compete with your weather in paradise. How is it, Simon? Good day to you.
Good day to you, John. It is almost the same as yours. It is sunny. There is no rain today. There was no rain yesterday. The high 72 Fahrenheit, the low 44. It is almost perfect. I can't think, actually, it probably is perfect. It is just absolutely lovely.
Now, I'm concerned, Simon, you're sitting in front of a medieval building with the sun flying off the sandstone. What is that building? Are you converting in some fashion to an order of the medieval knights? What have you done?
It does look like I should be wearing a monk's robe with a big hood on me. But no, this is, in fact, the tourist office of Albi. And Albi is the capital city of the department in which I live. It's a beautiful place. It is 1,200 years old in terms of this sort of architecture. And it has done very well for itself. And it's magnetic to come here. It's just, you just want to come and hang out. The people are nice. And I found this courtyard in the, basically, the tourist office where I could sit outside, not get burned by the sun when it's too hot, and just lovely.
Yes, it always reminds me of the fact that what I think is old is not old. Here I'm sitting in Connecticut. It goes back 250 years. You knock that off in the morning. Simon, back in the first millennium. We move from then to now. Lyra is safe, the little one. Juno is safe with Lyra, so we go to commodities. I'm most keen on the metals right now, copper and iron and aluminum. Any change from the last week, or is it steady?
Edged up a little bit, but still on the way up. So copper is up 9% this year. Steel is up 11%. Iron ore is down a tiny bit, and I think that's something to do with China. And lithium is down 4%. These are all on the year, and that's probably something to do with China's economy at the moment. And aluminium will have followed the suit with copper and steel because they're very key metals for building construction and manufacturing things like cars and or tanks, depending on which part of the world you're in.
And the data centers, that's the competition now, data center race. However, we turn to energy because we're still in the throes of deciding between green and fossil fuel. The word from West Texas is the barrel of oil is declining, so much so that some people are shutting down their fracking because it's more expensive to frack than it is to just extract from the ground. However, 61, 62 for West Texas, headed into the 50s. Where is the Brent crude you depend upon?
It's going in exactly the same direction as West Texas Intermediate. It's now $65 a barrel, which is down considerably from last week, and that's down 17% on the year. And that part of that is Saudi Arabia indicating that it's going to be pumping more oil out of the ground. And you've also got a slowing of the economy in China. And you've also, on top of that, got a slight slowing in the American economy as well. Slight, I say. It might not even touch the statistics.
Your electricity is dominated by nuclear power, which some people regard as green. Any change year over year in your electricity costs?
Yes, down 22%, which is fantastic. And it really is a wonder that it's come down that much. If it goes any more, it'll be basically a fourth off your bill of electricity if you use the same amount, which will be absolutely fantastic. And we need more of that sort of thing, especially with data centers coming into Europe, which they will do, and also likely an increase in manufacturing for defense systems, like basically planes and tanks and all of those missiles and everything, and that needs a lot of energy. So I think we'll be seeing maybe that tick up a bit in the next few months.
Let's move to politics. Back home, Simon. I begin with Keir Starmer. I do not live this. I read about it in The Telegraph and The Guardian and The Daily Mail. Keir Starmer is troubled in all directions. Before we go to the challenges to Keir Starmer, he was hired, I believe, to calm things down after the Jeremy Corbyn leadership of some years past. He was hired to be what he is, a human rights lawyer who's seen as sympathetic and organized. Is that the man now in the dispatch box in Parliament, or is this somebody you hadn't seen before? Why is he so troubled?
He's so troubled because he didn't basically execute any wins. You know, when you first get into government, the leader has to have some quick wins for the population that have voted him in. And so that might be tax cuts, that might be something else. But he seems to have done everything quite kind of backwards, which is taking things from people and saying, okay, no fuel allowance for the winter for elderly people, or basically adding tax to big corporations. That doesn't help them, and it doesn't help with employment. And he's done a lot of very similar things to that in his first year and a bit, as opposed to coming straight in with, look, I'm going to make your life a bit better by doing something that leaves you with more money in your pocket or more freedom. He's gone the opposite way. It's not going to be good. So now he's sort of turning coat and trying to attack right-wingers, right-wing parties, people who might be threatening his role as prime minister, so that when we get to the next general election, that maybe Keir Starmer is gone, or even before, perhaps.
Let's talk about who's challenging him. The person I'm watching most, because I have the least information, is a man named Andy Burnham, who was a member of parliament, but decided to go home to Manchester. He's now Lord Mayor of Manchester. I've never been in Manchester. What does it represent to the British economy? What is it in your culture? What do you think of when you hear Manchester?
Well, I think of lots of good things about Manchester. One is it's got great universities that were built in the 19th century. They're called the Red Brick Universities, and they tend to be focused a lot on things like engineering, science, and all that sort of stuff. It's also got great football teams, Manchester United and Manchester City, and it's next door to Liverpool, which has Liverpool and Everton, and they're also very great football teams. And then you have, it's a really productive area full of people who are interesting, educated, and just very good people in general, not all of them, of course, because nowhere is like that anywhere in the world. But it is an interesting place, and it's a big city for the UK.
Is it Labour traditionally, or is it mixed?
I would think it would be Labour forever.
Ah.
So because of the industrial history of it, it will remain Labour for a long time, I believe.
And the color map is a little different in Britain. The Labour Party is associated with red. But there are other challengers. Andy Burnham has to engineer a way back into Parliament before he can become PM. But he's talking about it. The other challengers to Mr. Starmer are popular in the media, but they don't seem to have the weight that Burnham does. Let's begin with Angela Rayner, who is the resigned Deputy Prime Minister, having to do with transparency and candor over taxes. She represents the Marxists. Is that a real thing, Simon, or am I just being sentimental?
You're not being sentimental. She's very much to the left and thinks that some of the things in Marxism would work in the UK. And you've got to understand that when we have conservatives in the UK, they're pretty much like America's left wing. And then you go further left wing and it gets more and more into socialism and then a bit more into basically Marxism and Trotskyism. And we have had people in the business of doing that in office in various places around the country, usually local councils and things like that. So yes, it's real. It's there. It's a worry. And we don't really want Marxist. And there she is in Parliament, if she indeed is a Marxist. But there's enough influence to, or enough stuff we're hearing on the radio and the TV that maybe she is in that block.
The other challengers in the party notably are nameless backbenchers, but there is a former member of the party, Jeremy Corbyn, who leads a small faction, I believe, associated with anti-Semitism. The reason I mention that at all is because not only is there a tragic incident cited in the news right now in Britain, an attack on what appears to be a synagogue population by unknown, well, there'll be clarity in this, but it's early hours. But also because of the marches in downtown London taking place over the last 2 years, protesting Israel, protesting everything about Israel, and being baldly anti-Semitism. But I've never understood, does anti-Semitism have a real place in British politics, or is it just because Corbyn gets a lot of trouble, a lot of attention?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of Europe, including the UK, had quite a lot of anti-Semitism in it. And there have been great atrocities conducted by people in Britain and in France and in Germany and all really across the Western part of what is now the European Union. We've seen that happen. I say we've seen it in history, in the history books. You read about it of a few thousand people being murdered for being Jewish. And this has happened for a very long time. So I think there is some sort of leftover things from that sort of way of looking at it. I think it's terrible. I think it's got to stop. I think it should have stopped a century ago, or two centuries ago. In fact, it would have been best if it didn't ever happen. But it is there, and there are still people who believe that Jews are the devil. And I think that is totally wrong. I lived in New York, and there's a lot of lovely Jewish people, and there's some people who are not so lovely, just like any other group of people.
We move now away from Labour's challenge to Keir Starmer to the other parties when we come back. Simon Constable, who is my English voter, that's why I poll him. He's the one poll that I take is watching Simon over the years. He's in the south of France where the weather is perfect, and it's coming autumn here in southern New England as well. I'm John Batchelor.